Let's pray together, and as we do so, let's ask God to help us as we come to his word. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that here we have you revealing yourself to us. Lord, we ask that you'll help us to listen, and that, Lord, as we listen, that you will help us to understand, and as we understand, Lord, that you'll help us to put into action what we hear. And for that, Lord, we ask for Holy Spirit help, that you'll help in the preaching and you'll help in the listening, so that you would be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's very important to know what is valuable. You might be familiar with the television program Antiques Roadshow. If not, it doesn't matter. But in this particular program, people bring in all kinds of things that they think are valuable, antiques, obviously. And they bring them to the experts, and the experts look at them. And sometimes those things that they think are valuable aren't. And you should see the disappointment in people's faces. But it is kind of much better when they discover that the strange ornament that they brought in is hugely valuable. I think there's a program called Fake or Fortune. You might have seen that in the paper this week in the news, that they found something very, very valuable. And that expression on the person's face, a big smile and the delight, the materialism, obviously, that it feeds into, is evident. That old pot that had recently had umbrellas or the children's pencils in was actually Ming Dynasty and is worth thousands of pounds. And when that happens, obviously what you do with that object is very different. You no longer keep your umbrellas or allow the kids to put their pens in it. You put it in a place where it is safe. You do not put it in the corner of a room where it can be kicked over by some person or other. It is put where no one can touch it. It's put there as safe as possible. I wonder how much we prize the treasure that God has given us and what we do with it. Because actually it's very different from that particular illustration. Psalm 119 tells us all about the treasure God has for us. I want us this morning, just very briefly, because as Pat said, it's a long psalm, to see three things about God's words, and that especially relate to Bible translation that we saw in the presentation earlier. So please turn to Psalm 119. And first, as we come here, we want to see that no experts are required. No experts are required. I wonder if in conversation with someone who's not a Christian, or you might have said this yourself, I don't know, this person has said to you, oh, if only God would speak to me, if only he'd show me that he is here. And the answer is that he has. The living God is a living communicator. First of all, the Bible tells us that he communicates in general, and he does that through creation and through conscience. So every human being is aware of God. Romans 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen. They're seen. And second, God doesn't just communicate in general, but he also does so by speaking to his people, through people. So Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke through the prophets. So the prophets came and they spoke God's messages to others. And then finally, the culmination of God's communication with us is in the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in this world. Hebrews 1 continues to say, he spoke through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son Jesus. Communication, you see, is in the heart of God. He loves to speak. He reveals himself. His character is all about communication. Jesus often prays as he talks with his Father, that communication. And the Spirit comes to tell us what the Godhead is saying. As John 16 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And that's a sign of love, because you talk to those you love. And how you communicate, of course, depends on the relationships. You get an official letter and it begins, Dear Sir. Even if you're a woman reading it, begins, Dear Sir, which is a bit confusing. Or a spam message. We've got the annual fair in Abingdon, and lots of roads get closed. And some of the residents get letters saying, Dear Sir or Madam, because we've got no idea who you are, this is what's going to happen. There's no relationship. Or you might use Twitter or X, as it's called now, or other social media, and you're communicated with some, but you don't really know them. Then you send a WhatsApp to a friend. It's much more personal, or a text message, but it'll be a brief message. It won't be long. When it really matters, you'll talk in person. You talk to your husband or your wife. It'd be a very strange marriage if all you did was WhatsApp each other or email each other. In fact, that would be a recipe for a disastrous marriage. So relationship, communication, and love is what we see here with God as he speaks. And in this treasure that you have here, we might describe it as a treasure box, he talks to us. Now, one of the objections that you then hear is when someone says, well, it's just a book. It's just a dull, dusty, old book. Our response is no. It is a dynamic, spirit-enlivened word of God that every Christian has a testimony of how God speaks through his words. You pick up the Bible for your daily reading, or you come to church and you hear God's word being preached, and you suddenly are realizing that God is speaking so specifically into your situation, something you've been grappling with, and suddenly you go, oh yes. Might as well have been a friend sitting next to you. We had a recent baptism at Abbey, at our church, and one of the person who has been baptized, testimony was how his understanding and view of God's word had changed. Before, he thought it was just that, you know, mom and dad, he was brought up in a Christian home, it was just for them. And then he started to realize that this was for him. And it moved his heart and enlivened his heart. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. He started to see that here is a treasure chest full of so much that is good. And he wants to read it and to listen and to understand. Now, experts are required to tell you about antiques, but no experts are required here because God's word is clear. There's a word, a theological word, which is perspicuity, which says that it is clear. Perspex is related to it. You can see through it, which means that you can pick up God's word and you can read yourself, and God will, through the work of the Spirit, help you to understand. So as you open the treasure box you have here, what do you find? Treasures. Wonderful treasures. We're going to see some of them in a moment or two. Psalm 119 is full of different treasures that you can find here. Experts are not needed. It is not a dull book, but someone might say, I don't understand because I can't read it because it's not in my language. Yes, that is the case. That is important. And that is why we need to value so much the fact that we have God's word in our own language. We're able to read it in the language we use in every day. Perhaps if you come from a different country or culture, you might speak a different language. Perhaps at home you've got a Bible in that language as well. We need this. Bible translation, you see, is so important. Unless it is in our own language, we really will struggle. Think of the work of Phil Reed in Africa. I need to be very careful. I think we're online, so I need to be careful what I say about his work. In Africa, and the translation work he's doing with his team. If you're familiar with GBM, you understand the work that he is doing. And more, we've been pointing to the work that Heidi and Philip are going to be doing, particularly Heidi, in translation and helping with the Calico people in that translation. You see, can I illustrate it this way? You don't need to do this literally, but it might be good if you can. Put a finger where the Bible, where you've got it, and just shut your Bible. Not what preachers usually say, is it? They usually say, open your Bible. I'm saying, close your Bible this morning. Okay, you've closed your Bible. What would you know about God if you didn't have a Bible in your own language? What would you know about Jesus? What would you know about the cross? About salvation? About sin forgiven? Redemption? Heaven? How you can be there? What it means to be church? What it means to walk with Christ? How to live your life? What would you know about hell? God's judgment? All of those things we would know so little about. Would you know how to worship God? Why church is important? What it is to walk with God, to please God? No. With our Bibles shut, we do not know any of those things. But once we open our Bibles, once we look in, we see God's revelation to us, his message to us, showing us that there is a heaven and a hell, and that there is a way of salvation. And that's found in Christ, who died on a cross for your sins and my sins. And he was raised to life, showing that victory over death and sin. And then we're told about that way in which we can, as we trust in Christ, as we repent and put our faith in him, that we can have our sin forgiven. Have you done that? If you have, then that has come through the understanding and knowledge of God's word. Without it, we would be lost. It's only with the truth of the Bible that we can know anything about God other than his creation, power, and existence. With God's word, we are not left to grope in the dark, but God shows us clearly the way. You see, experts aren't required, but we do need to read in our language. No experts required, but Bible translators are. You might remember the points this morning because there's a certain pattern to them. No experts required, but Bible translators are. Secondly, no keys required. So here is your treasure chest that you've got at home. You probably haven't, but use your imagination. And there in your treasure chest, you put your precious items. Some people have bank security boxes, don't they? You might, I don't. You might have one as well. That's fine. And there you put all your precious gold and other items. They're secure. They're safe. And if you want to go and get one of them, that's a particular piece of jewelry you've got. And you think, well, I want to wear that for that particular meal I'm going out for. And so you go and you get a key and another key and you go through into the vaults and it's all kept right away from you. We used the illustration earlier of the antique. Having found that it's so valuable, you put it in a place where it will not be damaged. But not so with God's treasure chest. In fact, it is quite the opposite. It is not put in such a place that is far away. God's treasure chest, God's word, is freely available and open for everyone to access. And as you dive in, you find some fantastic jewels. There's gold, there's diamonds, there's gleaming silver. It's all shiny and lovely. And Psalm 119 reminds us of many of these. There are many jewels here. We're going to pick out three this morning. Sometimes, you know, we can kind of say to people, you must read the Bible. And it's a sort of, you know, thing you've got to do. And people go, oh, I do that. Why should I do that? Well, here's an incentive. Here is an encouragement that within God's word you are going to find jewels. And the first jewel I want us just to notice this morning is light. Light is something that is really required in our world, light to see. We visited Graham and Sally last November, and that's in Kenya, it's in the tropics. The tropics, it gets light at 6 o'clock in the morning, it gets dark at 6 o'clock in the evening, and you then have the power cuts. Your light goes off. So you're going to have a lovely evening watching television or reading a book, and suddenly all the lights go off as the power cuts occur. You need light. Let me say for missionaries in such situations, how that gets them down. Pray for them. It stops them doing so many things that they would want to be doing. Well, Psalm 119 tells us, as we look at verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. Light points, it shows the way. You need headlights on the car. Tonight, as we travel back to Abingdon, we all need our headlights as we drive back, as it's dark. We need that to see the way. Otherwise, it will be very dangerous if we try to, on the windy roads back to Abingdon, without any light. Well, here in God's word, we are shown Jesus. Jesus described as the light of the world. It is here that we meet Jesus. Here we discover the glory of Jesus as Savior, as friend, as Redeemer, as Lord. Here we discover the jewel of salvation and what Jesus has done for us. He is the way. How can I find salvation and the path to heaven? See the light and see Jesus the Savior. It is found through the light of God's words. The light of God's word that then leads us on in showing us the path and the way to go. Light, spiritual light, is our first jewel. Our second jewel is purity. As we began in the first few verses, verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your words. This is pointing to a young person, but actually this is for all of us. Whoever we are, you've met Jesus, you've become a Christian, you're on the way to heaven, you're on the right path, but on the path there are many obstacles. How will you get over them? Well, if you were going to go climbing a mountain, you would need the right equipment, you would need a map, you might need ropes, you certainly need waterproofs, a compass, otherwise disaster will follow. You're likely to get hurt and injured and lost. And that's what we have here. As we walk that way in the Christian life, there are temptations. There are, as the hymn writer puts it, sights that dazzle. They lead us. They want us to go that way, the wrong way, the sinful way. How can you keep going on the straight path? As verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. That's what equips us. That's what shows us the path, that prepares us as we know what is ahead, arms us with weapons to overcome dangers. This will help us. God's word will help us to become like Jesus. Perhaps that word purity in verse 9 makes us merely think of sexual matters. But it's far more than that that we have here. I think a better way of putting this, as we understand it in the full context of God's word, is Christ-likeness. That we are to be like Jesus in every way. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us through the word to make us like Jesus. So year in, year out, as you walk with Christ, you become more like Christ. What a challenge. What a challenge as we read God's word, as we see God's word, as we learn from God's word, and we see that path and say, am I more like Jesus than I was a year ago, or the year before, or the year before that? So our first jewel is light. Our second jewel is purity, Christ-likeness. Our third jewel is strength. We need strength on this way. Strengthen me according to your word, says the psalmist in verse 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. The context here is sadness. Verse 25, I'm laid low in the dust. There are problems, there are difficulties, there are issues the psalmist is facing. And he is sharing them, laid low in the dust, weary with sorrow. We can hear something of that, perhaps understand something of that. What is his prayer? I'm laid low in the dust, preserve my life according to your words. My soul is weary with sorrow, strengthen me according to your word. He doesn't go for some, well, pull yourself together, or a bit of positive thinking, or a nice bit of mindfulness. No, he says, God's word. He says, where he goes first. The psalmist here, who does not have that full revelation that we have now that we live at that time after Christ, but he still says God's word is the place to go. Shouldn't we be going to God's word even more? Here's the treasure chest that strengthens us. Perhaps spiritual fatigue is coming upon you for some reason or other. I do not know why. How do we get out of that spiritual fatigue? By God's word. The strengthening of God's word, the invigorating of him and his word in the spirit. You see, there's that repeated phrase, according to your word. It is here that we find comfort, compassion, help. Here we find what we need in every area of life. God's word is sufficient. Not only can we read it because of that word perspicuity, perspex, it's clear. Spirit helps us, but it is sufficient. We need no more than this. And you know what's coming. If we need no more than this, and there are all these jewels, then don't we want others, other brothers and sisters, to know and have God's word? Of course we do. The work of Bible translation is so important. Unless you can read this yourself, then it is essentially locked up in a treasure box that you can look at and say, it looks very nice, but it's not doing any good. And when we keep our Bible shut, that is what we are doing. It looks very nice, but it's not doing us any good. The jewels are yours when you open and read. When it's translated into the language that people speak, then it blesses us. No experts required, but Bible translators are. Secondly, no keys needed, for Bible translators are the key. So what are we going to do? Thirdly, no worshipping allowed. What do I mean by that? Well, I have to say, in the past, I've been accused. I'm accused of this. You worship the Bible, Darrell. I worship Jesus. How are we going to answer that? How are we going to respond to that? What are we going to say? Have you seen the Crown Jewels? Remember going to see the Crown Jewels in the Tower of London? It takes an awful lot of effort to go and see the Crown Jewels. Well, first of all, you've got to buy your ticket to get into the Tower of London, and then you've got to go to the tower where the Crown Jewels are kept. You then queue for ages, and then you go onto a moving walkway, and you're transported past the jewels. So you can't be there for too long, and that is behind bulletproof glass. You see them, you never touch them, and then you're out the door before you've really had any moments to really think much about them. You admire them as you gaze at them. But this treasure is so different. Look at verse 9. The jewel of keeping pure. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Well, it's by being like Jesus. By living according to your word. So what does this person do? What do they do with the treasure? It's really interesting. Verse 11, you see, living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is where it will do us most good. not in a display cabinet like some relic, or hidden away in some security vault, or put behind glass. But those jewels that we mentioned, and they were just three examples from this psalm, are for everyday life. They're for public life. They're for your life and my life every day. Three jewels and now three responses. Very simple, very straightforward. The first one is live it. Live it. By living according to your word. God's word is to shape my life. It is to change my life. You've seen those very clever and creative people who work on a potter's wheel. And they, if you ever tried to do this, it's absolutely impossible. And they slap the clay on the middle, it's spinning round, and before you know it, they've got a pot. Well, I've done it, it's all gone all over the place, but never mind that. Brilliant, creative. Now, sometimes it does fall apart, even in their hands. And some of us have to start again, and they redo it, and they create it, and make it. That's us with God's word. We could talk about this as God being the potter and we are the clay. Then the word of God is one of the tools in God's hands as he shapes and works in us. And this treasure changes our lives. Just like I mentioned about that testimony at that baptismal service of that person who has been baptized and said God's word had changed their life. This makes us more and more like Jesus. As we live out God's word, it is dynamic. And then we feed on it. The second response, how sweet are your words to my taste, over to verse 103. Sweeter than honey. Is there anything sweeter than honey? Well, the psalmist wants to say yes. God's word is sweeter. What's this all about? I think we'd say this is about experience. As a Christian, you're not static. You're not living in what many other religions do of ritual, of you do your rituals. But no, you are living as you walk with Christ, as you worship, as you live out God's words. And verse 104 says, I gain understanding from your precepts. That's an ongoing idea, an ongoing truth. I gain again and again and again understanding. You don't reach the point where you say, I know it all, but you are forever growing to know more. There's always going to be more to know about our God. In fact, all eternity is not going to be enough for us, as we are, to know all about him. We've only just begun now in our Christian lives. Let me tell you, you never meet a growing Christian who is not opening the treasure chest of God's word frequently. All growing Christians are in God's word. Feed on it. Live it, feed on it, and follow it. For verse 106, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Oh, that's great. It's a light. It makes it very static, doesn't it? But verse 106 then says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. From being static to going, following. And it's a promise. It is an oath that they're going to do that. We're actually not very keen on laws. In fact, we're all serial law breakers and haters. Just hear the conversation about speed cameras or parking tickets or traffic wardens, and you'll immediately see that even Christians are not necessarily immune to such conversations. But all laws are to be upheld, even when we don't like them. I say that to you as much as I say it to myself. To me, to you, it's the way. However, our treasure chest here is full of righteous laws, or we might say commands. There are many descriptions in Psalm 119. Verse 1 talks about the law of God, and verse 2, his statutes. Perhaps turn back to the beginning of the psalm, and you see them coming one after another. For verse 3 says, follow his ways. And verse 4 says, you've laid down precepts. And verse 5, your decrees. And verse 6, all your commands. And verse 7, your righteous laws. At seven verses and seven different ways in which God's law or God's word is described. If we had a series through Psalm 119, we'd pause and we'd think about what each one is meaning and why is the psalmist saying that. But I just want you to see the whole. It all brings strength and gives light as we see how good it is. So we must follow. So after the first seven verses, you then have verse 8, which is the response. I will obey your decrees. I will obey. I will keep them. Not my way, Lord, but your way. That's what he's saying. Will you? You see, again, the application to Bible translation is clear as we think of Heidi and Philip, as we think of any work that's going on. Unless you can read this for yourself, it is essentially irrelevant. You could just look at a closed book and worship like a relic. But the key is the translation in your own language. And then they will have these jewels and will be able to respond to God's glorious word. No experts required, but Bible translators are. No keys needed, for Bible translators are the key. No worshipping allowed, because we come to follow Christ. Now, we live in a world of choice as we finish. You choose the school, you choose the options, you choose the course. Choose, choose, choose. Well, here is the most important choice for us to make. For you, for me, to make daily. To choose to go God's way. And to go God's way because that's the way he says. And he says here in God's words. And I listen to that. The temptation that you might face is to say, well, I chose Christ on such and such a day. Some people put it that way. I chose Christ. As if it was a one-off choice. And it isn't. We're called, if I can put it this way, to choose and to make that choice daily. I'm going to follow him. He's Lord of my life. At the treasure box we have here, there's increasing value. Should we take to the Antiques Roadshow? And they say, oh, don't worry about that. That's irrelevant. Well, every day we choose to open this and discover what God has for us. We could say so much more. We could say about memorizing, learning, meditating. But it's simply a joy to choose for the Lord. And we anticipate receiving yet another jewel. Doesn't that make us hungry for God's words? So use that treasure box as often as you can. Discover all that God has for you. It is the greatest treasure in all the world, and it is probably in your hands right now. And don't we want others to receive that same treasure here in God's words?